For me, ministry going well means that we're getting messy together. We know that people are hurting, people are going through, and we're not acting like we have it all together. We're sharing our hurts, our heart, what we've experienced and what God is doing. And so to see that kind of growth has been beautiful, and that kind of growth has translated to people feeling like the community of believers at Vintage Church Durham is authentic, loving, caring, and people have been sticking.
You're listening to Vintage Stories. I'm Jennifer Murphy.
And I'm Michael Murphy.
Today we sat down with Michael Darbouz, who is the pastor at Vintage Durham. He's been there on staff just about a year now. And we talked to him a little bit about his story and how he came to be a pastor and how he came to be at Vintage Durham.
Yeah, I'll be honest. When I sit down with a pastor, sometimes I feel like they have had God working through them through their whole life. And that's how they grew into be so wise and be able to share that message. Hearing his story is inspiring in the fact that he mentions that for a portion of his life, he wasn't a follower of Jesus, although he did have some faith, but he wasn't a faithful follower and didn't really have a relationship with Jesus. I can kind of resonate with that a little bit. So for me, I was like, wow, seeing how God is working in his life and the amount of faith that he's put into it. I mean, it's an incredible story. Really glad that he came in and shared with him. And I really think you're going to enjoy it too. So let's go ahead and get started.
You're about to celebrate a year at our Durham campus. How did you come to be on staff at Vintage in Durham?
Wow, that could be a long story. How long is the podcast? I'll give the edited version, make Matt's job a little easier. So I was in Portland, Oregon, and for maybe, could have been 10 years at that point, I really felt the Lord calling me to ministry. I had been serving in ministry since about 2005, so that was 2015 that we were in Portland, and I was really feeling like the Lord was calling us to plant a church. And the question was, Lord, where would you have us to be? After a while, after much prayer, felt like the Lord saying, go to Garner. And so we transitioned to Garner and left everything. Had in Portland a job that was paying enough to where if I went to work for them full time, I would have been making six figures, and left that all behind with nothing, no job in transition. We're a single income family of six at the time. We've since expanded, not biologically. We're done with that. But so we transitioned to Garner and left it all trusting God. And we were unemployed for 6 months. Our savings account just dried out. And we were like, all right, Lord, we really believe that you said to come here. And we're not quite seeing that come together. But in the midst of all that, because we trusted that God said go, we didn't doubt him. We didn't fear. We just prayed a whole lot.
Probably a lot of prayer.
Yeah, a lot of prayer. But in that last, let's say the midnight hour, right at the point where we were saying, we're going to have to start using a credit card to feed the family, I got an email follow-up from the Raleigh Rescue Mission telling me, we haven't forgotten about you. So if I haven't forgotten about me, I didn't even know you knew about me. I applied like 5 months ago. What took you so long? But long story short with that, and I ended up going to work for the Raleigh Rescue Mission, which is catty-cornered from Vintage downtown Raleigh. And between that relationship and also still having this desire and this call I felt from the Lord to pastor and to plant, I had already reached out, because I was going through the Acts 29 network. I reached out to Tyler and to a couple of other Acts 29 pastors, because in the process, about one of the phases, you have to sit down with a local Acts 29 pastor. So I had met Tyler at that point. I was already starting to build relationships with Vintage through the Raleigh Rescue Mission. We just fostered a relationship from there. Soon after, maybe about a year, I ended up leaving the Raleigh Rescue Mission. They changed their model, became a pastor at a local church in Garner, and still felt like God was calling me to go to a different place and plant. And my relationship with John Kerr was sparked up again. And just by God's providence, that relationship continued to build. And there were some transitions in Durham. I was in a point of transitioning in my heart, God was preparing me for something, and as only God can, he synced it up to where I happen to now be in Vintage Church Durham. So from Portland being stirred up to plant to coming out here and meeting with Tyler and building that relationship, and then the Raleigh Rescue Mission all the way to Durham, it was just God's providence really walking with us through the whole process.
That's pretty amazing.
Walking away from something without having something, that takes a lot of faith and trust, and I'm sure you and your wife are doing it together, but there's times where you're really wondering, well, we got all these children that we're responsible for. We need to, something needs to happen, you know? So it's a certain point in time, I'm sure it's really trying. Thank you for sharing that.
No, my pleasure. My pleasure.
As the church body grows up in Durham, what are some of the steps you're taking? I think there was some talk about maybe a new location or something like that.
Yeah, so the Vintage Church family has been really praying about how God is just moving throughout our family, from downtown to north to Durham and beyond, right? And so the leadership, we've just been seeking the Lord and watching God work, and our conviction is that God is really doing some beautiful things throughout the triangle, and we want to be prepared to receive and love on the people that God is sending. So I'd say that this is a risky move, if you will, but not really. It's a faith move, and we're trusting God based on how we're seeing God move. So we'll be moving to a new location July 1st. We'll actually occupy a new space, and our first service in that space will be July 7th, where we'll have more seating. So we'll double our seating capacity. We've had several Sundays where we've had over 100 people, and the space is really starting to feel congested, and logistically it has significant challenges. And so this transition will allow us to be in position to really receive more people, as we've been seeing more people come, but it'll also put us in the heart of a community, to where now we'll have a physical footprint that we'll be able to focus on and say that this is where God is planting us, and these are the people that we're going to look to reach out to, love on, and build community with. So the Lord say the same. Like I said, we'll be in a new space that'll just give a beautiful opportunity to truly do life together as a faith family, but then also to be on mission for Christ in a community, and be intentional about that.
Is there something that you want the other campuses to know and walk away from this podcast with about Vintage Durham?
Absolutely. Watch out.
We're coming.
We're coming. Downtown's in trouble. We're going to surpass them in just a couple of years. So one thing I do want the other campuses to know is how grateful we are. We are truly one church in multiple locations. And while we don't always see that, while we may not always feel that, we're impacted greatly by that. Vintage Church Durham doesn't do what it does without Vintage North and Vintage Downtown. We don't have the capacity or the capability, but we're able to launch out into the deep and cast our nets onto the other side of the boat, trusting that God is going to bring a draw to fish, only because we have partnerships that are able to really walk with us and support us. I'm not on an island by myself. It's not, oh, Michael, you're the only pastor, you're the only staff member. No, I'm not. I have Tanner and Tyler and John that I could sit down and talk to and bounce things off of. I have, again, the directional elders that have been just such a great support system. This is truly a brotherhood and a community. And so I want to make sure that our other campuses know that what's happening in Durham is the result of one body looking to impact the triangle with the love of Christ. And so we're excited to be a part of this body. We're excited to be able to focus our energies in loving on the people in Durham. But we haven't lost sight of the mission, is that we're about to get the triangle for Jesus. And so we're excited about another campus. We're excited about another two campuses. I'm looking forward to beating North and Downtown and being the first campus to plant two more campuses. We have a mindset to really go after the triangle. And that's the reason why Durham is able to do what it does. And that's the reason why the next three campuses that are part of this one church, multiple locations, is going to be able to do what they do, is because we have this focus in their campuses that are supporting the work that God is doing. So be on the lookout, but also I want to let them know that that we're thankful. We're only able to compete because they're able to pour in, so we're grateful. There was this individual while I was in Okinawa, Japan, Bishop Hodges, who just saw me at work one day and tapped me on the shoulder and invited me to come to church. He said, "Did I have a church home?" I told him no, and thought that that would be it. And he said, "Well, give this person a call and they'll pick you up and we have a seat just for you." So I'm thinking, well, I'm not giving that person a call, but just couldn't shake it. I gave the person a call and I went into the service, and there was about maybe 50 seats or so. And I went and sat in the front row, left corner seat. I'm talking about any closer and I would have just been able to give the preacher a high five. And there were about 10 other people in the building. So it was a small gathering, but God was really pulling on my heart. And so at that moment, I really had an encounter with Christ that really changed my life. And I realized from just a life of really brokenness and some dark spaces for about a 10-year stretch where I was doing life my way and experiencing all the impacts of that, that I wasn't going to be the man, the husband, the father that I wanted to be, but I was actually becoming the man, the father, the husband that I hated. I had a great disdain and hate for my father that really fueled me and controlled me. And in that moment, I had forgiven my father and accepted Christ into my life and had been running for Jesus ever since. And while the journey hasn't been a seamless line from living the way that I wanted to, being all in for Jesus, I can see back over the past 16 years how God has just been continuing to grow me. It's been a journey, but it's a night and day difference. I see the Lord truly restores the years that that seemingly were lost. So it's been a great journey, and I'm glad to be saved.
Within the year that you've been there, you said the congregation has grown a little bit, but you've also seen the faith grow quite a bit. Can you tell, after all this podcast is vintage stories, do you have one or two stories about maybe something that was awe-inspiring, or you really saw God's work, and something that came from the community or the church there?
Pretty early on, it may have been July, mid-late July, so I'm not even a month in, you know, the ink is still not dry on the paper. I had challenged the people to respond to the call of building up the children's ministry. So for maybe over a year or so, there was no elementary age class, and we had some elementary students, but there was no elementary age because there weren't people that were in a position to serve. And so making the call, I mean, we went from having no elementary age to having every spot filled. And again, this is less than a month and a half into being the local pastor. So it's not as though I had somehow garnered the relational equity to have people say, "Oh, well, we love Michael, so we're going to, you know, for Michael." No, they clearly were responding to the call from their local pastor, who they believe was sent by God to lead this gathering. So it was truly a response to the Lord then that the people would gather. And now we have from nursery age to elementary classes in Vintage Durham. And so when we started out, it was a much smaller gathering than it is now, maybe half the size. And yet we were able to start another elementary age class. And this wasn't after a year of growth. This was with the same people that had been there before I got there. So the hearts and the mind to work were truly there. I tell you, so you ask a pastor a question, it could get a little bit long. All these stories in the Bible are coming to mind, like, which one do you want to share, Michael? But it reminds me of the stories that we read in the Old Testament. You know, Nehemiah went to a people that were already there. Like, what happened? He didn't find a whole new bunch of people. He just came as a messenger from God and rallied the troops and said, "Let's go and do this work for the Lord." And the people responded to a move of God. And I was able to sit here in a New Testament time period and watch God do the same work that he did back in the Old Testament. So he truly is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And while we could say, "Well, Michael, it's not the wall of Jerusalem, it was an elementary age class," well, You know what? There's no small details that God just says that's insignificant. So to me, that was a large mountain that, again, just affirmed that God is doing a work. So I'll take starting out with a new class and now a new building. And next thing you know, we'll be in a whole bunch of new areas, just loving on people with the love of Jesus.
It's awesome. I was sitting here smiling as you're talking. I wish people could see. I was like, that's so powerful, because those little things that start building the community. Right. It's amazing. So thank you for listening to Vintage Stories. If you would, please hit the subscribe button and share it with a friend in the community or outside of the community. We would love folks outside of Vintage to know what we're doing here and maybe be inspired to come along and join us.
Yeah, and if you guys have any stories that you want to share, you can send those to stories@vintagenc.com. I know there's stuff going on out there right now in your community groups and in your church family, so send those over and we'd love to have you on, or maybe even just read the email.
Yeah, absolutely. And if there's a cause that you're involved in and you really feel like you want to get it out there and let people know what you're doing, please go ahead and send us an email. We'd love to have you on and talk about how God is working through you and into the community, and celebrate that through telling your story. So look forward to hearing from you.